us worship God. Come, let us worship God. Welcome,
everyone,
to the love of God.
Aceite bueno derramado sobre Aarón.
How pleasant and harmonious when God's people are together. Fragrant as precious oil when running fresh on Aaron's beard.
Miren que bueno.
Cuando todo el pueblo está junto, sepa
from the tomb. Even from death dispelling its gloom. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia. The angel said to them, do not fear. You look for Jesus who is not here. See for yourselves the tomb is all bare. Only the grave clothes are lying there. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy.
Wait till my brother-in-law gets here. Yeah. Good morning and welcome to worship. Today we are celebrating Regina Johnson's 100th birthday. Raise your hand, Regina. Coming up this week. We want to congratulate you, Regina, on this milestone in your life, and may God bless you in the coming year. Our call to worship is We Three Kings of Orient Are. It's be on the screen, and it's also or in your book on 646.
It's all good.
Our New Year's resolution was to really get organized.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not doing so
Anybody got any good jokes?
We three kings of Orient.
Well, thank you, praise team, and good morning. Welcome to worship on the second Sunday in Epiphany. Epiphany is a season when we discover who Jesus is. He has come among us, and now we are, our eyes are open, and we begin to hear the beauty of this God come among us. Ole had an epiphany, you know. You know Ole. Ole said that he really did want to go home to Norway, but he was afraid of flying. So he got on the airplane. His kids finally got him to go. And he was nervous. But he saw this really soft, big, leather-covered, comfortable chair in first class, right by a window. So he walked in and he sat down. But the flight attendant realized he was supposed to be in 23B. So she said, "Excuse me, sir, you're supposed to go back in 23B. "No, I like it here. I'll stay here." So it was coming time to fly. They closed the door, and she said to the captain, "You know, there's this Norwegian in first class, and he won't move." And the captain said, "Did you say Norwegian?" "Yeah." "Oh, let me talk to him." So he goes over and he finds Ole and he leans over and whispers a couple things in his ear. And Ole says, "Yeah." And he gets up and goes and sits down in 23B. And the flight attendant said, "Well, what did you tell him? I could not get him to move. I just said, Ole, this seat doesn't go to Norway." Hopefully our epiphanies aren't quite as dramatic as that. But, anyway, welcome to worship, and please sign the guest register in the pews if you are here, and we'd love to see that there are visitors, and love to have you join our church. Please be aware that Dean Newman needs your prayers. He's in the hospital. He's pretty seriously ill, so remember Dean today in our prayers. We have an event coming up next Sunday for our conference. It's called Reformation, well, for our Synod. There are two events, one in Aiken and one in another place. But for us, it's in Aiken at First Lutheran. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you haven't signed up, come anyway. It's at from 2 to 5 at First Lutheran in Aiken. And it will be a fun way for this Synod in our area to gather and have a kickoff of the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation next October 31st. Then please note that coffee servers are needed, and if you know, if you want to sign up for that, please do so. Are there any other announcements? Well, let's begin, continue worship with our gathering hymn, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," and thank you, praise God.
As we start out a new year, there's a lot of unrest and uncertainty in our lives, so we thought this song would be a good one, because if we can all have some peace in our heart, we can pass that on to others and make the world a better place. So it needs to start with each and every one of us.
Let there be peace.
death. Amen. Now, please, if you are able, please stand and let us confess our sins together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to all.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your ways to follow our own ways. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly. We have not spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have thought less of ourselves than we ought. Turn us around. Give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Amen. Hear the good news, the gospel, which says, even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. Hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us join in praying the prayer of the day. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you. Follow you and joyfully find you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. There's a pew open in the front, right here. Come on down. Welcome to worship. We don't do anything until the whole family's here. Praise team, shoulders.
When confusion's my companion and despair holds me for ransom. Your shoulders
you're lifting me up on your shoulders, my help is from you, my help is from you. From you. My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness, my brokenness, all on your shoulders. Shoulders. My help comes from you. You are my rest, my rescue. See to believe that you're lifting me up on your shoulders,
Thank you, Jim. Happy birthday, Regina. I want to share just a little bit before I read the lesson today. When Jerry and I first joined the church, Regina was my singing partner in the choir in the old church. And I thank her for her faith and her determination because she's a strong German. So we need to all wish her a blessed happy birthday this morning. The first reading is found in Isaiah chapter 49. Here the servant Israel speaks for herself and acknowledges herself as God's secret weapon. Called before her birth like Jeremiah and John the Baptist, the servant is not only to restore Israel itself. The servant's ultimate assignment is to bring news of God's victory to the ends of the earth. God in faithfulness has chosen Israel for this task. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today we will read responsively. So the congregation will read the dark print. It is Psalm 40. I will wait patiently upon the Lord who stooped to me and heard my cry.
The Lord lifted me out of the depths of the pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a high cliff, and made my footing sure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not turn to enemies or to those who follow lies.
Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plan for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. You have opened my ears. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
And so I said, here I am, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know.
I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your steadfast love and truth from the great assembly.
You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe. The second reading today is found in 1 Corinthians. Though God's church in Corinth is a fractious congregation beset with many conflicts, Paul opens this letter by spotlighting the multitude ways God has enriched and sustained its life as part of the divine call into the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist's witness to Jesus initiates a chain of testimony as his disciples begin to share with others what they have found. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which means translated Peter. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, you know, sometimes you forget things, and I forgot. During the announcements, I intended to have us all sing Happy Birthday to Regina. So can we do that? And let's put an amen on the end. So Regina, here it comes, your 100th birthday. Happy birthday. Okay, here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Regina. Happy birthday to you. Amen.
There you go, sir. And of course, welcome to your family, and thank you for preparing all of the goodies for us for your celebration following the service this morning. Thank you. Well, John the Baptist was proclaiming Christ once more. And two of his disciples were with him, and he said, "No, it's not me, it's him. Look over there. It's not me, it's Jesus, the Son of God, who has come among us." And Andrew, the brother of Simon, was there with another disciple of John's. And they saw Jesus. And they said, "Where are you staying?" What they really meant was, "Where are you living? Where are you dwelling so that we can come and gather in all that you have for us, teacher?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." What a great question and response for this season of Epiphany between Jesus and two disciples. Epiphany means to discover, to be surprised, to be delighted in a new understanding. When Jesus says to Andrew, "Come and see," Andrew and the other disciple, and then he included Peter, were drawn into a life of epiphanies from the one John the Baptist pointed to, our Lord Jesus the Christ. Come and see Bethesda. And like Andrew, ask, "Where are you staying, Lord?" Or to put it more clearly for us in interim ministry, what can we learn from you that will open our eyes to our future ministry? Well, consider an epiphany that I had in the last few days. So I said to Skip, "Where are you going?" And then I said to the Romeos in the Bible study Thursday morning, you know, Romeos, most of you know what that means, but if you don't, it's a group of guys that meet at 8 o'clock for Bible study, and their name means retired old men eating out. But I think Wednesday morning is important, too, because the women meet for Bible study, and I think they ought to be just, they don't have a name, but now here's a suggestion. How about if you call yourselves, ladies, how about if you call yourselves owls? Older, wiser Lutheran sisters. So I said to the Romeos, "What's this fishing trip all about?" And Ron said, "Come and see." And a couple others said, "Are you going, Pastor?" So I got on board and went fishing with the Romeos and their friends. And here are a few epiphanies that I brought home. I discovered Romeos, or the fishing group, they don't eat well. They eat really well. They know how to fish and where to find them. They caught enough fish the first afternoon to have an amazing fish fry on Friday evening. It was awesome. They love their time after fishing. Romeos know how to party. They celebrated those who caught the biggest fish. And your brother, Tom, Jim, Tom was in the fish house where the biggest fish was caught, and he helped deliver it. And then, the next day, right, Tom? He caught the biggest fish. So, what a guy. Anyway, Paul said, "Give honor to those whom honor is due." Then, they put up with not one, but two clergy in their midst. I was privileged to meet Pastor Jim. What a guy. Needless to say, he is not timid. It was fun, and it was good to meet your beloved pastor. Finally, this is probably the most significant epiphany. I was sitting next to a gentleman, they don't have his name, he was a guest of one of our guys, sitting next to him at the fish fry on Tuesday evening, and he said, "I love this. This is for me. I don't have to worry about my family or my work. This is for me." And I'm thinking, what if all of us came to worship on Sunday morning and walked into this sanctuary and said, "This is for me. This is God's time for me." The Romeo's fishing trip opened up for me a deeper and clearer and exciting look at a group of Christian men who know what it means to love. Believe it or not, that fishing trip is for them a renewal of their commitment for Christ and His church. They said to me, "Come and see." What I saw made me want to see more. So another time, Jesus was traveling through Jericho, and a chief tax collector named Zacchaeus wanted to see him. So Zacchaeus, because he was short, ran forward and climbed up a sycamore tree. And when Jesus passed by, you know the story, Jesus looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to dine with you tonight in your home." Called him by name. Again, Jesus said, "Come and see." This time to an outcast, a man who was severely despised by his own people for the abuse of his powers as a tax collector. So Jesus, our Lord, seeks us out. And when we get close to Jesus, a lot of pain and suffering are transformed into a lot of peace and joy. Epiphany and interim ministry go well together. We ask, "What is our mission, Lord?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." So during our interim, we are called to take a closer look at what the true value of this ministry really is. What does it mean for an individual and a community that Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo, a fellowship of Christians, exists on this corner of God's world. Drawn together through the words of Jesus and his healing and his life-giving sacraments, what really does it mean to be a member of this congregation? If you could only see what God is doing through you. I will tell you that as a pastor, I get to see more than you do of what God is doing in the lives of this people of God. And it's beautiful. Last Thursday, we celebrated Irene Long's lifelong membership and said goodbye to her as we honored her life and buried her. What is the significance of a woman who lives her whole life and has a lifelong membership of this parish? How can that be evaluated? How can that be imagined? But what about those who come and go? What did they take with them? And what about those who are seen by Jesus, like Zacchaeus, and transformed, changed, renewed? They worshiped here, and it changed their life. Because of you. Because it would not be here if not for you. Called by God through the gospel, enlightened by the Spirit, to be servants of Christ here and now in this place. If you could only see what God has been doing because of your faithfulness. Come and see, said Jesus. We have many miles to travel before we rest. But now, it's interim time. It's the possibility of epiphany. It's a time of question and discovery, seeking to get closer to God's will for Bethesda's future. So let me ask you a question. Does Bethesda Lutheran Church have a mission? Let me ask it again. If you believe Bethesda Lutheran Church has a mission, raise your hand. Okay, here's the trick on the question. Or do you believe the mission of Jesus Christ has a church, Bethesda Lutheran Church? Yes. The mission of Jesus Christ has you. And your joy is discover what is it that Jesus wants you to be and do for this community. So let's keep seeking and see the clouds clear. And until then, here's what I have to say to you, people of God. And this is confirmed by three other pastors. Since I've been here, I've met Pastor Paul Madsen, who assisted at the funeral for Irene last week. I've met Pastor Paul Andal, who was here before as a kind of a youth pastor, I believe. And Pastor Jim Reisenden, your longtime beloved pastor. All three of them would agree with me when I read this to you. We give thanks to our God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come and see, Bethesda. and then go and tell. Amen. Amazing grace.
Pray for Jim, he needs
it. I'll just play it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was blind, but now I see. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Gather us in, gracious God. Bring together Methodists and Pentecostal, Baptist and Roman Catholic, Lutheran and American Methodist, Episcopalian, Zion. Form us into worship, in worship into your united people. Send us out as one in you, proclaiming your glory and serving all. Hear us, O God. Fed with bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, Make us eager to care for your good creation. Send us to pick up litter from the highways and lakeshores and protect animal habitats. Hear us, O God. We pray for all nations of the world. Help us to reach out to the places where the scandal of hunger resides. Hear us, O God. Quell the anxieties of all who wait for test results. Bring hope to all whose life is a struggle and filled with despair. Send us to care for those who suffer. Especially, we remember this morning, Dean Newman. Hear us, O God. Open us to see how our congregation abounds with every spiritual gift. Send us out to share our abundant gifts and proclaim your steadfast love. Hear us, O God. And help us to remember the significance of one who lives their whole life, bending their knees, receiving their sacrament, and being thankful for life in you. Hear us, O God. We thank you for the faithfulness of your prophets, especially Martin Luther King, Jr., whose life, death, and ministry we remember this coming Monday. Strengthen our faith in you. Send us out to proclaim and live your justice boldly. Hear us, O God. Receive the prayers in the name of Christ, these prayers in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who is one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Now you get to stand if you are able and share the peace of our Lord. Seated for our morning offering. Let's pray together the offertory prayer. Merciful God,
receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, our possessions. Through this meal, unite us to your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You will receive the sacrament by intinction. You will be able to take a piece of bread and dip it into the wine and then place it in your mouth. All is ready.